Hey everyone, Tommy here, and this is Fighting Words. Normally, this is where I'd give you my intro, but I don't want to do that. I want to first off apologize for being gone so long. I never expected to be away this long, but it's been a rough year. It's been a rough year for everybody. But for me, it's been a year of depression and anxiety, and that sucks. I had to take a step back from my mental health, and now that I'm back, I can't say that I'll be jumping in head first like before, covering pretty much every fight under the sun, covering ONE FC, Bellator, UFC, PFL, boxing, WWE stuff. Like, I can't promise that, at least not right now. But what my goal is, it's going to be covering pay-per-view fights and the high-profile ones moving forward, and then maybe easing back into having Jamie or another guest on to talk about a high-profile WWE event, or having someone else on to talk about boxing, or even just me talking about boxing like I'm gonna do in a little bit. I don't know. I've got to gauge it based off of how I feel. But before I get into last weekend's fights, I also want to thank a friend of mine for inspiring me to come back and record this. My boy, Snow Bike Mike. If you don't follow him already, do me a favor and get on that. Because he is the reason that this episode exists. He gave me some words of encouragement when I really needed it, and told me he loved the podcast, to keep doing it, and that I'm great at doing it. So, thank you, Mike. Your words might not be fighting words, but they meant the world to me, brother. So, now, after that terrible pun, let's talk about fights that happened over the weekend. UFC Fight Night, Ortega versus Korean Zombie. And this was a solid night of fights. There were fights like Jimmy Crute knocking Bukakis out with a punch in the first round that, honestly, I don't need to break down. It was just a hellacious punch. Look it up. And then there were the fights of the main event and the co-main event that I will talk about. Starting with the main event, Brian Ortega versus Chan Sung Jung, aka the Korean Zombie. Going into this fight, I thought everything was stacked against Ortega. He hadn't fought in 2 years. Renner Gracie, who's not only his head coach, but like his best friend, wasn't in his corner because he tested positive for COVID. And the Korean Zombie is a beast in stand-up, and Ortega had always been kind of lacking there. Well, boy was I wrong. Ortega had the fight of his life, and it was mostly a stand-up fight. Ortega outstruck Zombie, dropped him twice, one of which with a spinning elbow that I thought that Zombie was just out, but he kept coming. And overall, Ortega really imposed his will. Zombie is tough and there was no quit in him, which really didn't help Zombie out at all. Normally, it helps him and allows him to keep going, but with Ortega having such a dominant offensive strategy, I don't know if that's what caused it or what, but Zombie just couldn't get going and kind of stood there like a zombie. Okay, last terrible pun, I promise. Forgive me on that one. I had to do it. There was not a single minute of this fight that Ortega wasn't winning, and it was really impressive. It was so impressive, it didn't even look like Ortega was out for 2 years. I know Renner Gracie said that Ortega got new coaches other than him from the ground up. Got a nutritionist, got new boxing coach, got a wrestling coach for the first time. A lot of it. And that he's just doing the thing. And it showed. I'm super impressed with that performance that I saw. And in the co-main event, we had Caitlin Chookagian versus Jessica Andrade at flyweight. So Jessica Andrade, former strawweight champion at 115 pounds, who also used to fight at 135 pounds, went to 125. And that's the best she's ever looked. Like, Jessica Andrade is small. So, one, the fact that she ever fought at 135 is amazing. But then she went down to strawweight because that's all that was there. Then the flyweight division opens, and after becoming champion at strawweight, losing the belt to Wally Zhang, and then fighting Rose Namajunas, where I thought she did enough to win, but if the fight were two more rounds, she would have definitely won. Like, she looked good. That was the thing. She looked really good in her last fight. Then, she's like, screw it. I'm gonna go to flyweight. And is just a monster. Oh my god. She just imposed every bit of her will and power onto Chookagian. And she got a takedown. She hurt Chookagian a lot with her punches. To the point that right before the first round ended, Andrade threw a hook to the body, which I guess might have broke a rib, because you could see Chookagian, like, wince in pain and run back. Well, Andrade wasn't having that. She was like, nope, I'm going forward, and dropped her, and probably got, like, two punches in before the refs had just had enough and stopped the fight. And honestly, rightfully so. No one has ever beaten Chookagian like that. And, oh my god, it's crazy. So, then, now I want to talk about boxing. Over the weekend, there was a huge boxing fight that, quite honestly, I had no clue even was a thing, because it really wasn't promoted all that well. I had no idea that Lomachenko was fighting Teofimo Lopez. Sorry if I mispronounced that. Until the UFC fights were over and they were promoting it. So, I was like, okay, cool, I'll watch this. In the back of my mind, I was like, alright, yeah, I've got Lomachenko winning in 8 rounds because it's Lomachenko. Well, this fight did not go at all how I expected. Like I said, I had Lomachenko in 8 rounds. But that's not what happened at all. The first half of the fight was all Lopez. All day. Lomachenko was a slow starter, and Lopez straight up outboxed him in the first half. He had the best 6 rounds of his career, looking crisp against an all-time great, showing that he really deserved to be in there in that unification bout. Later on, in the 7th, Lomachenko picked it up and started winning rounds. In the 8th, you could tell that Lopez was getting pissed. Lomachenko had started to find his rhythm and started landing jabs and combos consistently. But it was a little too late. I scored the fight 7-5 for Lopez. Now, Lopez did win the fight. But whatever judge scored the fight, 119-109 should never, ever judge a fight again. That was just insulting and inaccurate. Like, I know that boxing is corrupt. It has been, and it always will be. But that is insane how wrong that is. Now, let's talk about what's next for the fighters. Ortega should get a title shot. I get that he's been gone for 2 years, but he came back better than ever, is currently the number 2 ranked contender, and was so dominant that it's hard to deny him a shot at Volkanovski. While I'd love to see Holloway get the justice he deserves after getting robbed in the Volkanovski rematch, it's hard to deny that there needs to be a new challenger at the top, and who better right now than Brian Ortega. Normally, I don't talk about matchmaking for the loser of a fight, but I kind of want to because it's Korean Zombie. Korean Zombie should take a step back and maybe fight Jeremy Stevens or Ryan Hall. Personally, I'd rather see the Ryan Hall fight. Zombie has never been submitted and is no slouch on the ground either. And with that phenomenal striking, that's a good test for Hall to see if he's ready for the top five. Especially since everyone seems to be turning down a fight with him because of how good Ryan Hall's submission skills are. So, for boxing, Lopez and Lomachenko will probably run it back. And they should. Lomachenko was the best for so long. It's hard to deny an immediate rematch. Especially since 3 out of the 4 titles on the line were his anyway. I would guarantee that he has a rematch clause that he is going to enact to try to get those back. Even if that one title that Lopez had is not on the line again. So, let's talk about some MMA news real quick. First off, I know I said MMA news, but this is boxing. It looks like the Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder rematch is dead. That it's not happening. Fury said that Wilder's team has decided not to pursue it, and that it's just not going to happen anymore. And that bums me out, because I know they wanted fans in the crowd, and that wouldn't be possible, so they were trying to wait. But I guess Fury's team said, we're not waiting. You take it on the date or you lose your contract. I guess they opted to lose it. But that does open the door for a possibility of Anthony Joshua versus Tyson Fury. And I like that fight a lot for Tyson Fury. So, now for the MMA news. Conor McGregor is coming back. It looks like in January, he will be fighting Dustin Poirier in a rematch, but this time at lightweight. Last time, McGregor starched Poirier at featherweight, but this time, it's a completely different weight class, and they're both completely different fighters. Now, both are former champions, with Conor McGregor being a 2-division champion and Dustin Poirier being a former interim lightweight champion. Yes, I'm still counting that as a championship, guys. And I'm looking forward to this fight. They've both gotten so much better with striking. Poirier can take it to the ground, but I don't think he would. I think this would be a straight-up boxing match. And it would be fun. I don't think that Poirier gets knocked out in the first like he did last time. But I would still bet on McGregor. And I just like the fight, man. It would be fun. Next up, Cody Garbrandt is out of his flyweight title shot against Devyson Figueiredo. Sorry if I butchered that name too. So, flyweight contender Alex Perez is getting the title shot at UFC 255. Perez recently finished Jussie Formiga, so I guess he deserves the shot, but I wish they would have gone with Brandon Moreno personally. He's the number 2 ranked contender for a reason, and he should be in the title picture instead of fighting a contender on that same card who I don't even think is ranked in the top 10. Next up, Aljamain Sterling is finally getting a title shot. It's been long overdue, but in December, at UFC 256, he will fight Petr Yan. With Corey Sandhagen knocking out Marlon Moraes, there was no one who could challenge that Sterling deserves this title shot. And speaking of UFC 256, with Kamaru Usman versus Gilbert Burns off for now, which I swear is becoming a cursed fight, the main event will be Amanda Nunes defending her featherweight title against Megan Anderson. I love this fight. If you look back a number of episodes when Megan Anderson last fought, and I said I think she deserved a title shot over Felicia Spencer, like, I've been a fan of Megan for a long time. Although, I think Nunes wins the match, and I think I said that last time, too. It'll be a fun fight. The big question here, though, is what's next? No matter what the result is, there's no more contenders at featherweight for either fighter. Like, the UFC hasn't built the division at all. Will they end the division, or will they actually build it up by signing more talent? Personally, I think that they should sign more talent. I think what they should do is sign up a bunch of, if most of, the Invicta 145 division so we can see some fresh talent in the UFC. And I don't think I reported this one, and it's kind of old news, but screw it. I've been gone for a while. Michael Chandler, the face of Bellator, has signed with the UFC. And he's also the backup fighter for this weekend's main event in case something happens to either fighter. Anderson Silva will be fighting Uriah Hall on Halloween. I love this matchup. And this is also Anderson Silva's retirement fight, which I think is the right call. Silva, win or lose, can ride off into the sunset. And in my opinion, Anderson Silva is the greatest of all time. And unfortunately, all good things must come to an end. So, like, fighting is not an old man sport. And I don't mean that as to try to call Anderson Silva old. But in MMA, in your 40s, that's old. Like, that's just what it is. And now for UFC 254, which, oh man, this hypes me up. We've got the dominant, undefeated, lightweight champion, Khabib Nurmagomedov, versus the most violent man in the sport and the interim lightweight champion, Justin Gaethje. Ooh, this is going to be fun. It's going to be so much fun. I cannot wait for it, man. Ah! So, Khabib, like I said, is the most dominant man in MMA. The only person to have taken a round off of him is Conor McGregor. And even that, Khabib still won that fight. Now, Justin Gaethje is not Conor McGregor. Justin Gaethje is not Dustin Poirier or Al Iaquinta or anyone else that Khabib has faced. This Justin Gaethje is a dangerous threat to Khabib. Do I think that Justin Gaethje can beat Khabib? 100%. I 100% believe that he can beat Khabib. Do I think he does? Probably not. Like, I want Justin Gaethje to win. I really do. Justin Gaethje is one of the most exciting fighters to watch because he just doesn't give a fuck. He's going to stand there and he's going to swing and he's going to try to knock you out. Now, Khabib, obviously, is a wrestler. We know what he's going to do. My question about this fight is, how will Justin handle the wrestling? Because he is a phenomenal wrestler, even though he doesn't use his wrestling. I think he's going to have to use his wrestling defensively and prevent takedowns. If he can do that, he can win the fight. He can stop Khabib with his knockout power. If not, it's going to be a long night. And I think the answer of what happens is actually somewhere in the middle. I think Justin will win some rounds, but I think Khabib will win by decision or a late round submission. Now, I could be wrong. I could be 100% wrong and Justin comes out there and starches Khabib. I would probably scream in excitement. Like, and I'm a fan, like I said, I'm a fan of Gaethje. I'm also a fan of Khabib. Because, honestly, I am a fan of greatness. And that is a hard thing to deny Khabib at this point. He is great. He is phenomenal. But when you're looking at these fights now, when you're that good, the question is, what can the other person do to stop you? Not how are you going to impose your will? Because we know how Khabib can impose his will. He's going to back you up to the cage, get a takedown, and smash. That's what Khabib does. Khabib smash. Look at any interview he's ever said, that's exactly what he says too. He smash. Yeah, you're going to ground and pound. You're going to submit. Cool. I know this. I don't need to explain this to you guys. So I would rather explain how Gaethje can win. Gaethje can win by knockout. I'm not picking that. Like I said, I'm picking a decision or a late submission for Khabib. And the next fight we have is Robert Whittaker versus Jared Cannonier in what should be a number one contender fight to face Israel Adesanya for the middleweight title. I have very mixed feelings about this fight, honestly. Like, I can't believe Jared Cannonier used to fight at heavyweight. Like, why? Heavyweight. Then, Robert Whittaker should win this fight. I don't think it's going to be an easy fight for Robert Whittaker. But I also don't think that... I think a lot of people are writing him off. And it's weird because he's a former champion. Israel Adesanya being one of them, who's essentially written Robert Whittaker off in this fight. He's like, yeah, I want to fight Cannonier, win, Cannonier wins. Cool, but what if Cannonier doesn't? Because there's a really high chance that Cannonier does not win this fight. Like, I think that Robert Whittaker will win this by stoppage. I think it'll be a second round TKO. And that's not to say Cannonier can't do the same. Cannonier's got power. I just don't think he has the same level of skill that Robert Whittaker has, which will set up for Whittaker versus Adesanya 2. And that's everything for now. Thanks for listening. You can find the podcast at anchor.fm/fighting-words or on all podcast services. Follow the podcast on Twitter at @FightWordsPod, my personal Twitter at @Nightwing593. You can support the podcast with a monthly donation of 99 cents, $4.99, or $9.99 a month. That would get you producer credits in the show notes by going to anchor.fm/fighting-words. Until next time, I'm Tommy, and these are Fighting Words.